Good morning, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. It's time for you to be heard. The talk show welcomes everyone's calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Good morning and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. I'm Gary O, and I'm holding over an hour from the morning show here today because we have very special guests in our studio. Addison will be here after 9 o'clock this morning with open phone lines, and if you have things you want to talk about, go ahead and give Addison a call after 10 o'clock this morning. In my studio today, Kyle Kramer is with us, CEO of Day Kimmel Healthcare. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, Gary, and good morning, Northeast Connecticut.
Good to have you here today. Dr. Douglas Waite is here today. There's a blast from the past here in Northeastern Connecticut. He's now Senior Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Covenant Health. And Dr. Waite, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to see you.
Last time you were here on these microphones, how many years ago?
9 or 10 years ago.
And what did you do at Day Kimmel Healthcare when you were there?
At Day Kimmel, I was the System Chief Medical Officer. But I had been at Day Kimmel for 16 years, actually, and my job changed a lot, and I had a lot of opportunities to grow in my career and serve the healthcare needs of Northeastern Connecticut, and I really enjoyed it, and there's still a piece of my heart that's here, Gary.
Absolutely. We're glad you're here today, and Steve Grubbs, President and CEO of Covenant Health, is on his way. Apparently, there was quite an accident in Worcester. Did you have to get through that, too?
I bypassed it through back roads.
All right. So because of an accident and big traffic delays in Worcester, Steve Grubbs, President CEO of Covenant Health, on his way. We estimate he'll be here at about 9:20 this morning. So we said, you know what? We're going to start, and when Steve gets here, we'll bring him right in, and we'll introduce you to Steve Grubbs, too, President CEO of Covenant Health. So I'm going to mix my questions up a little bit from what I originally planned. So, Doug, let's start with you. Tell us about Covenant Health. What is Covenant Health? What do you stand for? What do you do?
Covenant Health is a smallish, integrated healthcare system with our corporate offices in Tewksbury, Massachusetts, with healthcare providing institutions in all three areas of healthcare: ambulatory, acute, and post-acute. Ambulatory, we have a sizable medical group, about 350 providers, physicians, and advanced practice professionals, and three main markets throughout New England. We have three acute care hospitals: St. Joe's in Nashua, New Hampshire; St. Mary's in Lewiston, Maine; and St. Joe's in Bangor, Maine. And we also have quite a few post-acute care facilities, 10 nursing homes, and I lose count of how many assisted living facilities and independent elderly facilities to spread throughout the Northeast, as far down as Pennsylvania and as far north as Bangor, Maine.
Why Connecticut for Covenant Health?
It's not so much Connecticut, but it's more Day Kimmel Healthcare. Day Kimmel Healthcare is an organization that I know very well, having spent literally half of my career here in a variety of roles. It's a community hospital with an integrated system that serves the needs of Northeastern Connecticut. It's the sole provider of healthcare here, which is very, very important to us. Our model of running acute care healthcare systems is to preserve services in that community that otherwise would not be able to be provided. Our three hospitals that I mentioned, Gary, are all community hospitals, similar sized and similar service line offerings as Day Kimmel. We are not a big healthcare system that has a mothership. We don't own a tertiary care medical center. We don't have to feed the mothership, therefore. We therefore want to preserve the services in the community in which the hospital is in, and expand on them and make sure that that healthcare system survives in that market. And we see Day Kimmel as an organization very, very similar to our other three acute care markets. Bottom line, we do community hospitals well, and we believe that Day Kimmel is a really good fit for us because it's so similar to what we do in the other three acute care markets.
So right now, a certificate of need has been filed with the Connecticut Office of Healthcare and healthcare strategy, that is. And I wonder, Kyle, could you give us just a where are we at with the certificate of need, the regulatory process that's happening right now to merge, if you will, and we'll dissect that word later too, Day Kimmel Healthcare and Covenant Health.
Sure, Gary. And I think you and I have discussed, we filed our initial application with the Office of Healthcare Strategy. at the end of April, back a few months ago. Shortly a month after that, we received our first round of completeness questions, which is, again, standard process for this type of a certificate of need. The review process is detailed, very focused, so there's some clarifying questions. We submitted our responses to those completeness questions in late July, and at the end of August, we received a second round of completeness questions, again, predictable and expected in terms of clarifying detail and some additional information to more fully answer and respond to questions about, you know, what does the transaction mean? How will this ultimately support healthcare access in Northeast Connecticut? We are on the verge of actually probably later today or tomorrow we'll be submitting our second round of completeness questions, and the office will have 30 days to review those questions, and fingers crossed, we'll deem the application complete.
So, by the way, you can follow this process at Connecticut Office of Healthcare Strategy, OHS, at portal.ct.gov, portal.ct.gov, if you want to follow that practice, or if you want to follow that process, I should say. So, what brought Day Kimball to the point that we're at today where we need to merge, we need to have a partner, we need to do something? What's going on, Kyle?
You bet. The challenges in healthcare are real. Obviously, this is something that's not just unique to Northeast Connecticut. Nationally, if we look at what is happening in healthcare, there's a tremendous amount of complexity, and a lot of things have been working, you know, in some senses against small and rural hospitals. The ability to deliver scale that provides the opportunity to, number one, negotiate contracts for supplies, negotiate contracts for payer relationships, et cetera, is more difficult for small hospitals than larger systems. As a result of that, that puts us in an already tight spot. In addition to that, because of our size, you know, we're 104 beds, 22 bassinets, we don't have the ability and the bandwidth to provide high-end tertiary quaternary services like cardiac surgery or intracranial neurosurgery, which are high-margin producing clinical services. And as a consequence, the mix of services that we provide puts us in a position where everything matters. We are a hospital, just like, you know, every other small and rural facility out there across the country, that has to be very precise in our efforts to deliver care. We've got to be very focused on population healthcare needs. And as a consequence of that, we really are afforded very few swings and misses. And because of that, it puts us in a more precarious position financially. Let's fast forward to the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, and this thing called COVID-19 hits us. The pandemic accelerated some of the challenges that small hospitals have had for years and put us in a position where we're ultimately looking at a whole host of challenges, not the least of which is the need to invest in an electronic health record that we're on our last exemption or exception approval for meeting the criteria of meaningful use, and we're going to ultimately have to move forward on that very quickly. That's a huge investment on our own. That would be $40 to $45 million, not an investment that's easy for a small hospital to make independently. As a result of that, that puts us in a delicate position. In addition to that, just the ability to continuously meet the needs of our community and support through physician recruitment, staff recruitment, et cetera, creates a further challenge. And of course, you look at some of the other challenges that small hospitals have had, businesses in general have had with relation to pension plan management, et cetera, some unique issues. We started the journey about 10 years ago looking for a partner. We evaluated in-state partnership opportunities. We looked at a relationship potentially with a for-profit company. None of those panned out. For a variety of reasons, nonetheless, they didn't pan out. What we found in Covenant is a partner that, number one, understands us, understands community, and understands community healthcare in a much more meaningful and deep and rich way. And not only do they understand it, they invest in it. And it's an investment that is made because they value the support of communities, and they value the support of community health.
So you're under the gun, if you will, for the upgrade for electronic health records to the tune of $40 million. And just, you know, just basic balance sheets for the last 3 years. Obviously a loss. And yeah. What kind of loss? What are we
Very
talking?
Difficult. So for the first year of the pandemic, we posted an $11.5 million loss. You know, and that's not dissimilar to a lot of places around the country. If we take out the CARES Act support and state-level support, we have a negative number on the bottom line for the last 2 years. And that's, you know, those are the types of returns that are very difficult. We're dealing with a lot of weighty issues. We're dealing with the need to invest, and the challenges are just not sustainable. So, you know, without the partnership, we're probably looking at a 2 to 3 year runway. And that's not what Northeast Connecticut needs. We certainly need a hospital here. I've been here for the last 3 years. I've gotten to know this community. It's a phenomenal place to be. It's a phenomenal place to live. And it's a great region. But we need a hospital. And we need a hospital that's thriving and surviving, that supports our needs in terms of our overall health.
You mentioned 2020 and a loss of $11 million. Last 3 years, if you put them all together, what are we looking at?
If we aggregate it, we're looking at $13 to $15 million, depending upon how you slice or dice it. And, you know, again, that's not sustainable. And part of that is because if you look at our sheer size, 104 beds, 22 bassinets, we don't have the reserves and the foundation level support built up to sustain those types of losses. If you look at big organizations, and we're talking organizations like Brigham, Mass General Brigham, Yale New Haven, Ascension, Common Spirit, big systems that are the pillars of healthcare that we aspire to be like, they're posting multi-million dollar losses, and that's great that, you know, we're in the same boat as these big places. Well, it's not great, but we're in the same boat with them. But the difference is that they've also got reserves that allow them to take that one-time hit. We don't have that type of reserve.
You mentioned four other overtures, if you will, to merge or purchase Dake Kimball Healthcare. We use the phrase, you've been left at the altar four times. Prospect Medical Holdings, Hartford Healthcare, twice, and Yale New Haven Health. What goes wrong? Is it similar situations that make them say, never mind? What happens?
I think there's a variety of reasons, Gary. You know, for Yale New Haven, it's distance. You know, whether you go down 395 and across 95 or across 84 and down 91, it's an hour and 20 minutes to get to New Haven. And as a result of that, for patients who need access to care that's beyond what we can do, that's a challenge. In addition, Hartford Hospital is, you know, Hartford Healthcare, rather, is a wonderful system. But there's, you know, there's different challenges that they have. And they've already invested to some degree in this region with the acquisition of Wyndham, with William Backus Hospital. You know, the question is, do they really need another facility? And based upon, you know, their due diligence, they would have, you know, wanted Dake Kimball to be something different than it is today. Prospect Medical Holdings, a for-profit system. You know, ultimately what it came down to is they wouldn't necessarily be able to generate the return on investment that they need to satisfy their investors. And in fact, Prospect Medical Holdings is looking to sell out of New England already. We know that there is a transaction in play with Manchester, ECHN, and Waterbury Hospital.
Yeah, so actually it was serendipitous that that didn't work out. If this affiliation doesn't happen, what does Dake Kimball Hospital look like a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now?
Well, 1 to 2 years from now, we're probably, you know, still doing what we're doing. Obviously, you know, very measured, and we'll have to start taking some pretty drastic measures in terms of our ability to survive. 5 years, I honestly don't even like to think about that, Gary, because, you know, the way healthcare is going, with cost escalation having been what it's been over the course of the last year or two, in particular with inflation, with labor cost, et cetera, it doesn't paint a pretty picture. And these are issues that all healthcare organizations nationally are dealing with, but small hospitals in particular hit even harder.
I get the impression from what I've learned from following your story here and just the category throughout the country, this is a category that it changes at a dizzying pace, healthcare.
It's
in terms
remarkable.
Of staying the same feels like it's not even possible for that to happen. Changes have to be made, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's very true, Gary. And what we deal with, obviously, is a situation where healthcare is dynamic. It's ever evolving, and obviously, what we do in terms of providing care changes on the basis of not just the what we're doing for patients, but the how we do it, the technologies that are involved, the support that is required, the way we staff things. We've got to move with that. And the other thing that, quite honestly, becomes even more compelling for us to ensure that we have the ability to sustain the organization is the fact that we're a region that's aging in place. And we know that statistically, as individuals get older, they use more healthcare services. And the more they use those services, the more cost there is within the healthcare system. And the ability to provide the level of care that they need becomes even more critical to the maintenance of health and welfare of the region.
Again, we're expecting Steve Grubbs, President CEO of Covenant Health, to join us. Dr. Douglas Waite is here today, Senior Vice President, Chief Medical Officer of Covenant Health. We're kind of doing the questions upside down here. These are the questions I was going to ask you at the end, so we'll do that now, Kyle, and thank you. Pardon me for getting too granular, but what is the status of pensions? Pensions at Dave Kimball Healthcare, I've heard that brought up as a concern.
Yeah, it's been raised a number of times, and you know, like most organizations back in the day, Day Kimball had a defined benefit pension plan, and defined benefit plans have to be fully funded and supported. What we've done is convert, like a lot of other organizations, to a defined contribution plan. So we suspended and froze the defined benefit plan, and have been working on solutions for that. We've been working with the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation to take that plan over, which we have gotten approval for, and we'll be working out the final details of that through the next month or two. That's a good thing for us. Pensions are guaranteed through that process. There is no question, no concern, and no issue with regards to individuals that were vested in that plan. And on a go-forward basis, since the termination of the defined benefit plan and the movement to the defined contribution plan, Day Kimball matches employee contributions up to a certain level. And as a consequence of that, those contributions are vested. But it's also the employee's responsibility to determine whether they want to invest in stocks or bonds or money market. So that allows the employee some control. And as a result of that, performance obviously is market-driven.
All right. Steve Grubbs, President, CEO of Covenant Health, has entered the building. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll introduce Steve and continue with our conversation today with Day Kimball Healthcare and Covenant Health on the WINY Talk Show, Community Radio, Community Hospitals. It's a good pairing. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Witkowski, the Republican candidate for State Senate in the 29th District. As I'm knocking on doors and attending events, I hear the same thing over and over again. Our state senator is not listening. Families are struggling because Connecticut's economy is not working for everyone. As your new state senator, I will work tirelessly to make Connecticut a more affordable place to raise a family by fighting to lower taxes and keeping Hartford's hands out of your pockets. I will defend parental rights and local control of our schools and zoning decisions. I will support our police officers and give them the tools they need to keep families and communities safe. I will empower parents so they can decide what is best for their children, not some bureaucrats behind a desk in Hartford. On Election Day, I ask for your support so that we can take back our government and restore common sense, civility, and fairness in our everyday lives. I'm Suzanne Witkowski, and I approve this message. Paid for by Suzanne Witkowski for State Senate, District 29, Kathleen Herbert, Treasurer.
For nearly 20 years, it was the most common sense idea Washington refused to adopt. Give Medicare the power to negotiate with the drug companies to lower our prescription drug prices. But now, at long last, it's been signed into law. Here's Congressman Joe Courtney.
Getting things done in Congress takes persistence. And persistence is how we capped the cost of life-saving insulin and have finally given Medicare the power to negotiate prescription drug prices so we lower seniors' out-of-pocket costs.
It's true. Joe Courtney's winning the fight to lower prescription drug prices and reduce our health care costs. The new law Courtney helped pass caps the price of life-saving insulin at $35 a month, even penalizes drug makers who increase their prices more than the rate of inflation, driving your costs down.
I'm Joe Courtney, candidate for Congress, and continuing to lower your everyday costs is my top priority, and that's why I approve this message.
Paid for by Joe Courtney for Congress.
WINY.
Back here live on the WINY Talk Show. Gary O until 10 o'clock with special guests here today. Addison will be here after 10 o'clock with open phone lines, and we'd love to hear from you on the WINY Talk Show. Steve Grubbs is here, President CEO of Covenant Health, based in Tewksbury, Mass. And Steve, welcome to Putnam.
Thank you, Gary. My pleasure to be here this morning.
Good to have you here today. Get a little traffic tie-up in Worcester. You saw more of Worcester than you've ever seen before, I guess,
that,
right?
That is so true. You know, a drive that normally will take me about an hour and 15 minutes door-to-door took a little over 2 hours, okay. But I did see more of Worcester than I've seen in a long time.
We're glad to have you here today. Dr. Douglas Waite, Senior Vice President, Chief Medical Officer at Covenant Health. You remember Doug when he was here at Dade Kimmel Hospital years ago. And again, good morning, Dr. Douglas Waite.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here today. And Kyle Kramer, CEO of Dade Kimmel Healthcare. Kyle, great to have you here today, and thank you.
Absolutely.
By the way, promises made, promises kept. I've been bugging Kyle for this interview for months, and you kept telling me, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, we're going to promise we're going to do it, and then you reached out and said, yeah, let's do it. So promises made, promises kept, and thank you for that. I appreciate
my pleasure.
That. So, Steve, again, an introduction. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and Covenant Health and a little background. Go ahead.
Great. Happy to do that. And again, thank you for having me this morning. You know, you were talking about promises made, promises kept, and my mind immediately went to Covenant Health, and our logo is, Covenant is keeps its promises, and we've demonstrated that, you know, throughout the years. Covenant is an organization. I'll talk about Covenant for a minute, and then I'll go back and tell you about
sure.
myself. Covenant was an organization founded in 1983, right there in actually it was in Lexington, Mass. At the time, mm-hmm. And so we've been around for many, many years. We've operated acute care hospitals and nursing homes, post acute care facilities throughout New England. And I think that the rich legacy of Covenant speaks for itself, and we're super, super excited about the possibility of partnering with Dade Kimmel and adding Putnam, Connecticut to the list of facilities and areas that we serve. As for myself, I've spent over three decades in healthcare, always in healthcare administration. Have worked with Covenant Health as their CEO for the past, well, a little over 3 years. And moved to New England from Florida. I was previously in Florida in the Panhandle, didn't know what to expect. I'd traveled to New England for seminars and various reasons throughout the years, but never had seen myself living in New England. And what a great, wonderful place it is. It reminds me a lot of where I grew up. I grew up in Northeast Kentucky, a little community just outside of Ashland, Kentucky. So when I look at the topography and it reminds me of home. Of course, the seasons are here are a little more dramatic, but I do like it. So that's a little bit about myself. I'm married. My wife, Sissy, and I have been married. We just celebrated our 32nd anniversary.
Congratulations.
We have two grown daughters and one grandson, new grandson, so...
So we started our discussion with Kyle while you were making your way here, and I just want to follow up on a couple of things. So what we learned here from Kyle in the last 3 years, Dade Kimmel Healthcare in the last 3 years has lost over $13 million, nearly $15 million. They're on their second and final hardship extension with Medicare to upgrade the electronic health records software system, an upgrade that would cost up to $40 million for Dade Kimmel Healthcare. Why does Covenant Health want Dade Kimmel Hospital? This is my business mind asking here, like, okay, what are you seeing here? Why do you want Dade Kimmel?
Well, that's a great question. There are a lot of things to like about Dade Kimmel. From my perspective, when I look at Dade Kimmel, I look at a hospital with a rich legacy, over 125 years serving this area. I also see it as a sole community hospital serving the area, and that's a great benefit as well. As far as we at Covenant are concerned when it comes to Dade Kimmel, I tell people all the time, I've got inside baseball. I've got the man sitting to my right here, Dr. Doug Waite, who spent 16 years of his career here in this community and on medical staff at the hospital, actually served as their chief medical officer. And I could learn a lot from him. About the community, about the people, about the medical staff, certainly gave us a lot of rich insight as to who they are and what they're about. The losses at Dade Kimmel, not uncommon. not uncommon. When you look at the healthcare industry and you look at the landscape throughout the United States, you see hundreds of hospitals. Well, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but you see over 100 hospitals within the last several years in rural communities that have closed. Financially strapped, couldn't survive, needed a partner, couldn't find them, and they closed their doors. That's been exaggerated by what we've been through in the last 2.5 years with the COVID pandemic. In fact, when you even now step back and look at the large healthcare systems serving this country, and I'm thinking of the not-for-profit systems, it's been said that over a third of those systems this year will miss their bond covenants, that most all of them are operating at a loss this year. So not only has Dave Kimball had and experienced financial losses over the years, that has been exaggerated of recent because of the pandemic. So if they need a partner and they decided years ago that they would search for a partner, and I think it was an excellent decision on the part of their board and their leadership, but if they needed a partner, now's the time.
And Doug, you're shaking your head, particularly on the COVID impact. You want to drill down on that a little bit?
Sure. I'm an infectious disease physician, board certified, and I hate to say it, but in a sick way, we've all been preparing for this. We know that there was going to be a big pandemic at some point in my career. Didn't realize it would be a coronavirus. I thought it would be influenza. I still think there's going to be another pandemic in my career, in my lifetime, with influenza. But that being as it may, it impacted our society dramatically, as everyone knows. But it really, really impacted healthcare, which is unfortunate and a little bizarre because healthcare is one industry that we really needed to function highly. And the federal government knew that. The federal government has supported healthcare with, as Kyle mentioned, the CARES Act. But that's a temporizing thing. Healthcare as an industry has really had a significant setback with this, from staffing to resources to reassigning folks in different ways and new regulations to make sure that we're protecting our patients and nursing home residents from harm. So that's put a big financial strain on us from that pandemic.
You also wanted to drill down, too, on the electronic health records, which is, you know, when you talk to people, why does Dave Kimball Hospital have to do that? That's the number one or two reason you hear is this ponderous responsibility to upgrade healthcare records to what would cost them as a standalone, up to $40 million. Drill down on that. Apparently, you use the Epic Electronic Health Records program. I understand that's the Cadillac of health record.
Correct. So for Dave Kimball, in addition to the hits that the pandemic has caused, the big looming hit is their electronic medical record, or EMR. I actually remember being part of the team and actually spearheading a lot of the efforts to put in place your current EMR in 2008, I think it was. So in electronic technology terms, 2008 is centuries ago.
Yeah.
And so the good crew at Dave Kimball has been nursing this along and keeping it going, but it's not the solution for the long term. And since it's got limitations in its technology, as Kyle mentioned, there's going to be limitations in how much money we're going to be able to get through the interoperability laws, formerly called the meaningful use. So they need an electronic medical record and need it soon. Fortunately for us and Covenant, we have been utilizing Epic for about 4 years now. And we use Epic for our hospitals, our hospital outpatient departments, our ambulatory practices, urgent care, et cetera. So we have this as a nice big package. That is going to be available for Dave Kimball Hospital should this acquisition go through.
Will patients notice that?
Patients will probably notice this for a couple of different reasons. First of all, there's a nice, slick portal, patient access portal to Epic called MyChart that we use. And they can get in there and be very interactive with their healthcare providers, both in the practices but also on the hospital side, to review their results, to message their provider, I need an appointment, to look at their MRI scan results from the ER visit, to ask questions. It's very interactive. And it spreads it across the system, both in the ambulatory side and in the acute side and the ER too. The other thing about Epic is it's probably the most highly functional EMR in the nation. I think most healthcare systems and providers would agree. And more healthcare systems, in fact, I would say I think the majority in America now are using Epic. And so there's a function called Care Everywhere. So if you received care at another Epic shop somewhere down the road or up north, which, by the way, UMass has Epic, and so does the big Boston institutions, you can go in and merge your charts, and through Care Everywhere, your providers here in Putnam are able to see the care and the results that have been achieved elsewhere to other facilities.
And I think that's an important point to take off on, and I'll be brief on this. We obviously, as a small community hospital, have to send patients who need care beyond what we're capable of providing. So neurosurgery or stroke patients or cardiac patients, they have to be sent to a tertiary or quaternary center. Right now, we're limited in the electronic data that we can send because Hartford, Yale, Worcester, UMass, St. Vincent's, the Providence hospitals, the Boston hospitals, most of your large academic centers are on Epic. It makes the integration of information from point to point very seamless. So are there other EMRs? Yes. But is Epic a gold standard? Yes, because of the fact that it's so widely distributed.
Back to Steve Grubbs, again, President, CEO of Covenant Health. I hear the phrase affiliation used. Again, back to my business mind, this sounds like a purchase. Define, is this, what is this, what's happening here? An affiliation, a purchase, are you buying Day Kimball Healthcare? Drill down on that.
Yeah, no, I certainly understand the, the question and the confusion, because in the industry, we use a lot of terms like purchase or member substitution or affiliation. They're all very interchangeable. In essence, we're, as a system, we like to say we're bringing in Day Kimball as a member of our company. But, we are acquiring the assets and the liabilities of the institution. So for all practical purposes, this is an acquisition.
Local control governance with this purchase, merger, affiliation, will that disappear or will there be a local voice?
No, absolutely there will be a local voice. At Covenant, my strong belief is that healthcare remains local, and that involves local governance and local decisions. The way I've structured our organization, and Dr. Waite, being one of our senior leaders in the organization as well, understands this, that, we're a corporation that provides resources and subject matter experts to our facilities to help them along on their journeys. We want there to be local leadership. There'll be a local board. One member of that board will sit on the Covenant board so that there's representation at the corporate level of what's happening in this community. The president of the facility, Kyle, would become a senior leader within the organization. He would have a seat at the senior leadership table and help form and make decisions for the organization along with his fellow counterparts at the other acute care hospitals.
So, Kyle, your intent is to stay on?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love this community. I love this organization, and I believe in what we're trying to do. So, if Steve will have me, I certainly want to continue to be a partner with him, with Doug, with the organization.
Let's talk about changes. How will our local hospital change? An affiliation with Covenant Health means the introduction of Catholic Ethical and Religious Directives, ERDs, to our local hospital, something that has not been part of our healthcare for 128 years. How will things change here? Because I do hear these concerns in the community.
Yeah, great question. Changes, I think, will occur naturally when you have a new organization that comes in with new operating structures. Obviously, we're faith-based, being a Catholic organization, so we'll introduce our faith-based mission to all the employees throughout the organization. Now, it's interesting to note that, we're a Catholic organization. You do not have to be Catholic to work for Covenant Healthcare. In fact, we invite everyone to work at our facility, just as any hospital would. The difference is that we are guided by our mission. We are guided by our founding sisters who established the purpose of the Catholic ministry for us. So you don't have to be Catholic. And in fact, I enjoy sharing this. I'm not Catholic. I'm CEO of the company. I'm not Catholic. Doesn't mean I'm not a person of faith. I am. But it's very easy for me to accept and appreciate the mission and the values of this organization. And when you find that common ground, when our employees find that common ground, I think that they too will benefit from this. And in fact, when we do our employee satisfaction surveys, the most cited reason for people enjoying working at Covenant is that we are mission-based and mission-focused.
So you don't have to be Catholic to work there, and obviously you don't have to be Catholic to receive health care there, which is good to know. I'm a baptized, confirmed Lutheran, and you know, Lutherans, Catholics, we have a history. So anyway, that's good to know. Just running down services, women's health, men's health, end of life, labor delivery services, intensive care, inpatient care. Will there be changes?
Yeah, there will be changes. Obviously, being a Catholic facility, we are guided by the ethical and religious directives of the Catholic Church, the ERDs. Now, are those changes going to be dramatic? No. And as a matter of fact, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what that will mean and how that will occur within the community. And, you know, very simply put, you know, basically, you know, as long as a service does not involve a service that would prevent a pregnancy, or is not an elective abortion, we will perform those services here within the community. There are certain situations where there are exceptions, where, you know, we do terminations of pregnancies because it's in the best interest of the patient. I'm speaking out of school here. I would probably have to lean on my colleague, Dr. Waite, to talk more specifically about that. You know, those will be some of the changes.
Okay. Do you want to weigh in on that question?
I think the most important piece here is, Gary, the vast majority of women's and men's healthcare services will remain unchanged and, in fact, potentially even expanded. The rich legacy of the women's health program, including the labor and delivery unit, is very, very key. I was here when the entire labor and delivery unit was remodeled. A lot of my time in my last couple of years was spent enhancing the quality of services that are delivered at Day Kimball for obstetrical care, prenatal, postnatal, intrapartum, et cetera, hiring and retaining top OB-GYN providers, midwives, et cetera, enhancing that program with hospital-based neonatal prepared and trained nurse practitioners, and that's still in place to this day. So we fully intend on making sure that program is solid and strong, and potentially even grows.
That has been an issue, too, locally in Windham, for example, with labor and delivery services. And it's important, obviously, that remains intact here at Day Kimball Healthcare.
Absolutely.
The intensive care unit will continue to have an ICU at Day Kimball Healthcare.
Absolutely. And, Gary, all three of our community hospitals now have robust intensive care units. 7 to 10 beds for each of the hospitals, so very, again, very similar size to Day Kimball Hospital again. So we fully intend on making sure that's still strong, a strong program, and I know some of the providers are still there, and they have a rich legacy of providing that. And by the way, one of our three hospitals does provide obstetrical service as well, and that's a big, strong, growing program. It's our hospital in Nashua, and they continue to provide excellent care there, and the program continues to grow. In fact, the chief medical officer in St. Joe's in Nashua is an OBGYN practicing physician there at the hospital.
Hospice palliative care, a big part of the Day Kimball Healthcare service here in northeastern Connecticut. End-of-life issues, will anything there change?
I'll take that. Absolutely not. One of the key things that sets Catholic healthcare apart from many other, but not all other secular institutions, is the focus on the dignity of the human being. And the dignity of their right to life and choice of what they want to do with their own life. In the end, when patients, it's clear that their lives are limited in number of days or weeks, the intent of Catholic healthcare is to provide the most kindest, compassionate, supportive healthcare possible. And I know Day Kimball does that. In fact, I was a member of the Ethics Committee for many, many years. One of the most important priorities for Day Kimball Healthcare is to provide that kind, compassionate, and palliative care. And that's a top priority for Day Kimball, and that fits beautifully within Catholic healthcare. And we fully support that, and we'll continue to do that.
Let's talk. Get back to being inclusive. Steve, you mentioned you don't have to be Catholic to work there nor to receive health care there. Even Lutherans can go. Members of the LGBTQ community, can they receive care?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We welcome, you know, all people with all belief systems and want to make sure that they feel included, heard, and cared for. And in fact, It's been a great initiative of our company over the past year or 2 years to really strengthen our efforts in that regard. We have a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee within the company made up of diverse members throughout our system that come together and they talk about issues. You know, are we in any way being exclusive? If so, how do we change that? How do we educate our staff, our employees to be sensitive? And so we're hearing such great stories throughout the system of how we're responding to the needs of our patients and taking great care of them. You know, there are certain questions I get in Catholic healthcare about these issues, and you know, I think it goes back to the misconceptions. I think, you know, if we can just sit down and have a conversation, I think people will understand that, you know, the care they're going to receive is really not different than what they're going to receive in any other institution, with exceptions, and the only exception being that of the caring nature of our staff based on the mission and the values that we portray.
Doug, do you want to drill down on that?
Yeah, I have one example of the diversity question. And I love – this is a great patient care story. I'll be brief. A lesbian couple came in for delivery of a child at one of our healthcare facilities recently. And they weren't sure the kind of care and compassion they would get being a lesbian couple at a Catholic healthcare institution. But they knew the reputation of the quality care that we provided, so they came to us. What they ended up seeing in a letter written to the CEO of that hospital was the kindest, most compassionate care that they could ever imagine. They were treated as one of their family. They were so excited about the great quality care, but the compassion that their baby had as well, too. They wanted to have someone from the mission department come and pray with them because there was a little bit of a mild complication with that delivery. And our VP of mission at that organization came right to the bedside with the team, prayed with them, comforted them, and they were so grateful for that. And they did not feel excluded or negatively looked at because of their sexual preferences. So I think that's an example of how we strive to provide the kindest, compassionate care, highest quality, no matter who you are.
Steve, anything else on that?
No, I think you handled that really well. Yeah. Okay. It's a great story.
You're the largest employer in the region, correct, Day Kimball Healthcare?
That is correct. Yeah. We have over 1,100 individuals employed through the organization and, you know, very proudly are not just the largest employer, but we support the employment of many other organizations that exist here in Northeast Connecticut. In fact, without having the acute care hospital here, there's many business along the 395 corridor in the industrial parks that may not be able to exist here because they need access to an emergency department and to hospital services. And we're proud to provide that. And, you know, again, our goal as an organization, regardless of anything else, is to be very careful with regards to how we provide care, how we support the community, and our belief structures are very similar in terms of compassion, in terms of supporting our community.
So obviously, people are concerned about jobs. Will jobs remain intact?
Yes, I believe they will, and in fact, I feel strongly that, you know, as we partner together, as we look to grow services and expand services, we'll actually see jobs being created in the community, which is an even better thing. You know, there'll be a period of time where we'll evaluate and kind of lay side by side, you know, the operations of Day Kimball versus how we typically operate our facilities. But we've done a lot of that work already. We don't see any dramatic variances. And so we feel very comfortable that they operate extremely efficiently. And have done so, you know, for a while, and that I think that that'll be a good fit as they blend into the operating structures that we support.
We're going to take a short break right here. We have Steve Grubbs with us, President CEO of Covenant Healthcare, Dr. Douglas Waite, Senior Vice President, Chief Medical Officer of Covenant Health, and of course, Kyle Kramer, CEO of Day Kimball Healthcare. We're going to wrap it up. We'll come back with some final words and final thoughts right after this. Stay with us.
I'm Dr. Jeff Gordon. Most of you know me as the chair of Woodstock's Planning and Zoning Commission that the last 2 years took on Hartford bureaucrats to protect your town's rural charm against their radical mandates. As a doctor, I've spent the last 30 years helping my patients beat back cancer. Now I'm running for the state Senate to fight for lower taxes, medical freedom and reproductive rights, individual and parental rights, and to reverse the Democrats' anti-police bill, which harmed our first responders and made our communities less safe. I am working for you and working with you all of the time. I want to bring common sense to state government. I ask for your vote on Tuesday, November 8th, to be your next state senator. I'm Dr. Jeff Gordon, and I approve this message because Connecticut and you deserve better. Paid for by Jeff Gordon for CT, Jeff Marcotte, Treasurer.
Don't sweat it. Turn a hot summer spot into a cool comfort zone. Call Saveway Petroleum and ask about the Mitsubishi Electric, America's number one ductless air conditioning. These units are quiet, super energy efficient, and installation is quick and easy. Enjoy direct cooling where you want it while filtering germs and allergens. You can even get combo units with heat pumps for winter comfort. Call Saveway Petroleum today and ask about Mitsubishi Electric, or go to SavewayPetro.com, and if you use oil, get $100 off your first delivery to become an automatic delivery customer.
W-I-N-Y Community Radio, serving Northeastern Connecticut.
Okay, back here for just a few more minutes with our special guest here today. Addison will be in after 10 o'clock with open phone lines on the WINY Talk Show. Steve Grubbs, President, CEO, Covenant Health, Dr. Douglas Waite, Senior Vice President, Chief Medical Officer, Covenant Health, and Kyle Kramer, CEO of Day Kibble Healthcare. Let's go final thoughts here this morning as we cover the process, again, that's happening, the Certificate of Need process through the Connecticut Office of Healthcare Strategy for Day Kibble Healthcare and Covenant Health. Dr. Waite, final words.
My final thoughts, Gary, are this proposed acquisition slash merger, we firmly believe that this is what's best for the healthcare needs of Northeastern Connecticut. And I know I can speak to that because I spent 16 years of my career here, formative years. And I know the people of Northeastern Connecticut. I know the pride they have in their local healthcare. We fully intend on keeping it local. We believe that Covenant Health is the perfect partner to continue to preserve that local healthcare, to expand on it, and to provide the resources that Day Kibble Healthcare actually needs to be the sole healthcare provider of the community. And we're very excited about that. It's a perfect match from our perspective, being a community hospital, very similar to other community hospitals. And we're excited about the opportunity to bring additional resources and compassionate, high quality care. And I didn't mention with Epic is that Epic has a rich ability to do data analytics, multiple dashboards, and we've used it extensively to further our quality improvement program throughout all of Covenant. So I'm very excited to bring that high quality care to the table.
And again, Epic, the electronic medical record software system that you feature at Covenant Health that would become part of life here at Day Kibble Healthcare. Steve Grubbs, last word, final thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Pleasure to be here today. I think if I had to sum it all up, I would just say it's excitement. We're extremely excited at Covenant about Day Kibble joining the system. We've got a little bit to go as far as the process, regulatory approval and such. But, you know, really like what I'm seeing. And I think, you know, Day Kibble is just such a great fit. I'm excited about the future of Day Kibble. Having studied the past and learned a lot about the facility, I'm excited about the future. I love that this facility walks beside its community and provides community support and needs as they see opportunities. We do that in our other facilities with some very innovative programs like a mobile health clinic, food pantry, which I know Gary is very near and dear to your heart. And other services. And so we want to be a partner. We want to be a strong community partner. You know, part of the mission of Covenant Health is to seek out and serve those that are less fortunate and vulnerable. And we know that exists in every community and also here in Putnam, Connecticut. And we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of providing that assistance. I've had a chance to interact greatly with the board, the senior leadership team of Day Kibble over the past year. It's been a great journey. Fantastic people, strong leaders, and I think that they have a good vision of where they would like to see the facility go into the future. I certainly respect that and appreciate them. I appreciate the selection of Covenant as the partner moving forward. I know it was not an easy decision. A lot of suitors along the way. But, you know, we find that, you know, it's a good fit. You know, the missions, the values of the organizations align, and it's truly a good fit. So I see that as being a very harmonious relationship moving forward. And then, you know, finally, I would say to folks listening, you know, you don't know us. This is really kind of an initial intro for us into the community, and we're glad to finally get to this place. But we ask that you just trust and then verify, you know, trust what has been done to date. Trust the actions of the board, the senior leadership team, the medical staff, in their decision to select the right partner for Dave Kimball. And by verifying, what I mean is, verify that we're covenant is as presented. And I think you will find that we truly, truly are, and that we're here to support the future of a great hospital with a great legacy.
You were kind enough to honor my request for an extended sit-down. Can we do this again?
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd welcome that.
As we get through the process. Again, point us to places to go to follow the process to learn more. Kyle.
So we have obviously a lot of information, and we'll continuously be providing more information at dkhfacts.org. And we would certainly encourage people to visit that. And, you know, let me just emphasize that, you know, we are Putnam, we are Northeast Connecticut, and we are Dave Kimball. We know this community. We've made strong investments. You and I have talked for the last several years about the quality that we provide, and that commitment remains, and we'll go forward. And with Covenant, we'll be able to invest even further in the needs of this community. So we have a great future, a great opportunity, and we provide great care.
Thank you for your time. We are out of time. The talk show continues after 10 o'clock with Addison and your phone calls. WINY Putnam, 10 o'clock.
Sure.